Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
So we now know the cause of death for Matthew Perry. He died from the acute effects of ketamine, a drug that is used to treat depression, and it's also, you know, a recreational drug. The Los Angeles County Medical Examiner's Office released the toxicology report, concluding Perry had taken ketamine infusion therapy for depression and anxiety a week and a half before his death. The ketamine in his system at the time of his death, however, could not be from that infusion therapy, since ketamine's half-life is 3 to 4 hours or less. So this ketamine in Perry's system caused both cardiovascular overstimulation and respiratory depression. No evidence of alcohol, methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin, PCP, or fentanyl. The contributory factors in Perry's death included drowning, coronary artery disease, buprenorphine effects. Buprenorphine is used to wean addicts off opioids. What's interesting, of course, is that Perry had been undergoing ketamine infusion therapy every other day for some time. 6 months before he passed, a new doctor decided Perry was doing well enough that he didn't need the treatment that often. So there's no information on how long he was, you know, what was the, how frequently he was getting the ketamine infusion therapy in the months before he died. But he apparently needed, was self-medicating with some other ketamine infusion therapy, you know, like somebody else's ketamine. He also smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day, had COPD, emphysema, and diabetes. So according to the medical examiner's report and interviews, Perry was clean and sober for 19 months. Remember, he was found unresponsive in his jacuzzi after playing a couple hours of pickleball. Went home, sent his due person out to get something, and then she came back and found him in the hot tub. So, I mean, you know, he was self-medicating with the ketamine. The doctor was wrong, I'm guessing, and deciding that the ketamine infusion therapy, he didn't need it as much as he was getting it. And then he decided that, yeah, okay, whatever you say, I'm going to do it myself. So there you have it. Very sad, but not a surprise that Matthew was self-medicating and trying to take care of himself. And, you know, I guess he was doing the best he could. You know, still smoking, still having other dietary issues, but he wasn't using drugs anymore. Jeff, it was ketamine. I know, but he wasn't using, you know, alcohol, methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin, PCP, or fentanyl. So just let it go. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. So, you know, we mentioned last week where Mark Zuckerberg, the head of Meta, Mr. Facebook, had sold stock for $185 million. Well, now we know what he needed the money for. He is building a Hawaii compound, apparently at least $100 million for this compound, complete with an underground bunker and its own food and energy sources. In a secret project, I guess we know about it, so it's not secret anymore, he's trying to conceal his doomsday preparations. He has a complex called the Koula Ranch, K-O-O-L-A-U Ranch, is already partially constructed and is shaping up to be one of the most expensive personal construction projects in modern history. Okay. The compound on Kauai Island will consist, I think it's Kauai Island, K-A-U-A-I Island, will consist of more than a dozen buildings with 2 central mansions that will be connected by a tunnel that leads to a 5,000 square foot underground shelter with an escape hatch accessible via ladder. Okay, I hope there's more than one escape hatch, because if somebody comes in the main escape hatch, there's no other way out, right? You got to have some kind of secret way out. You have to. If you remember, if you watched the show I told you to watch, 000, the main Italian gangster who's in his underground bunker has a special escape hatch that he uses to get out of there because the main hatch to the underground bunker was breached. So I'm just saying you need an extra way out. You have to. The property will house at least 30 bedrooms and 30 bathrooms because, I mean, you can never have too many bathrooms, am I right? And will also feature dotings of guest houses, a group of 11 disc-shaped tree houses joined together by rope bridges. That sounds like fun. The subterranean bunker will hold a living space and mechanical room and feature an apparent blast-resistant concrete and steel door. Wow. He spent $170 million to purchase the land to build his ranch, which he and his wife and kids view as their family home. Now, I just want to be clear before we read any more about this. This is in Hawaii. Okay, I don't understand why we're building a bunker in Hawaii. It's an island. I mean, it could be underwater in a heartbeat. And I feel like the bunker is not going to do you any good underwater. Hey, I could be wrong. Maybe he has a submarine attached to it so that if it goes underwater, you're good to go. Other exits and entrances throughout the compound's buildings will have doors and keypads, locks, soundproofing. The library will feature a secret door. According to the construction documents, cameras are already everywhere, according to one worker, and the plans show that one smaller ranch building has more than 20 cameras alone. He's planning for some sort of apocalypse, according to some of the people doing this story. We're getting special reports from the builders and construction workers. It's supposed to be self-sufficient, a water tank, 55 feet in diameter, 18 feet tall, along with the pump system, will be housed on the property. Existing ranching and agriculture on the 1,400 acres already provide food sources. He has built a 6-foot wall around the compound and has contracted workers, no matter their level of involvement, to sign NDAs regarding their work on the property. Yeah, so how are we getting this information? He has spent $170 million to purchase the land. We know that. Meta did not immediately return. But yeah, no kidding. He's not going to comment on that. So good luck, Mark. Have fun. I'm glad you could do it. Good for you. We all want our bunker. We all want to be able to be safe. I just find it interesting that we're building this 5,000 square foot underground shelter with an escape hatch. And we're not, I guess, you know, we have to look at some of the plans and take a look and see if there actually is a secret other way out, because there has to be. Otherwise, you're screwed. And we can't have that, can we, Mark? You know, I talked about this morning on the Daily Mojo. I was over there doing a little bit of their show, the morning. What the hell is the name of the show? I don't know. Morning Mojo, realdailymojo.com. Just go. Mojo50, realdailymojo.com, something like that. Brad and Ron do their morning show, and I'm over there, working with them this morning. Anyway, I talked about this story, and it still irks me, okay? It just irks me. So this lady buys a vase at a thrift store, a Goodwill store, for $3.99. Then she finds out she buys it for $3.99, thinking that it might be worth, I don't know, $1,000 or $2,000. But come to find out, it's worth over $100,000. Why doesn't this happen to me? So this lady, Jessica Vinson, who was shopping at the local Goodwill in Virginia with her partner, noticed something and caught her eye, a stunning glass vase with swirling translucent red and seafoam green pattern in perfect condition. While she knew she had to have it, she didn't know what it was worth. And she said, there was nobody in the aisle, and I picked it up and I couldn't believe that it was glass, like solid glass, not painted. And it was really beautiful up close. In my mind, I thought, you know, maybe it was worth $1,000 or $2,000. I knew it was good, but I didn't know it was like the masterwork that is. So she went ahead and found collectors on Facebook and directed several auctioneers, including the Wright Auction House. And Wright Auction House specialists visited Vincent to see the piece in person to make an offer. After careful consideration, Vincent sold the vase for $107,000. Why does this not happen to me again, I ask. Now, she wasn't out looking at a thrift store for anything for her. She was out looking for something to make some money on. It says here she raises polo ponies, so she's already got a little cash. It's not cheap to raise polo ponies, okay? And so she was something, she said earlier in the interview, I just had to have it. I just had to have it, and it was something I really wanted until they offered me $107,000. And then I was like, yeah, go ahead. You can have it. It's yours. Look how beautiful it is. I know. It's gorgeous, isn't it? Go ahead and take it. No problem. So the vase is from some renowned Italian architect, Carlo Scarpa. You know him. You love him. The glass itself is relatively simple. It follows the technique Scarpa invented of apply brush strokes of color to create this painted-like surface during the billowing process. It's also a testament to his idea that a vase can be elevated to become a work of art. So it really is referencing fine art as it's painted with these brush strokes while the glass is hot and being blown, so it's pretty special. In the Italian glass world, Scarpa glass is sort of considered to be the very best. It's its own collecting field in and of itself. Again, I want to ask, why does this not happen to me? There's a small chip on the vase. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. It said even if there was a small chip on the vase, it would make it less worth less than $10,000. But there was no chip. It was just sent to Goodwill. Incredible. It wasn't chipped or damaged. I mean, that's darn lucky. I've purchased a lot of things from Goodwill, and I have not purchased that. So congratulations to Miss Vincent for the find of the year at Goodwill in Virginia. $399 for $107,000. Pretty good deal. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. Okay, be sure to follow me on my social media accounts at JeffyJFR on Twitter, Jeff Fisher Radio on Facebook and Instagram, YouTube, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. You can email the show anytime, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. And you can always order a Cameo with, you know, that's not free. It's at JeffyJFR on Cameo. Just tell me whether you want me to be happy, glad, sad, mad, mean, whether you want me to wish somebody happy birthday or wish someone, tell someone to take a hike. Just order it on Cameo at JeffyJFR, and then I do the Cameo, and then Cameo gets the money and sends me a cut. That's the way it works, okay? So you can do that at any time as well. You know, it's December 18th, which this day sticks in my head because it's my first wife's birthday, and just every time I see December 18th, I think of her. So that funny line, men don't remember dates. Yeah, we do. We remember them. Doesn't mean they stick with us, or we try to forget them, but we do remember them. Anyway, I was going to be off this week, and I'm just sitting here. I got up, and I did Mojo 5.0 this morning, and I thought, you know what? I might as well do a show and say hello to you. So thank you for subscribing to Chewing the Fat. If you're listening to this and you are not a subscriber, what are you doing with your life? Make sure you become a subscriber. You're freeloading. Nobody likes a freeloader, okay? Everybody likes free stuff. Nobody likes a freeloader. So become a subscriber. And then once you're a subscriber, then you got to follow, you know, a lot of rules. But the main rule that you have to follow is that when asked any time, hey, what are you listening to? Your answer has to be Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. Okay. So I know you're going to listen to more stuff. Everybody does. I appreciate it. But, you know, if you have headphones in or you're somewhere and somebody says, hey, what are you listening to? Your answer as a subscriber to Chewing the Fat has to be Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. And those are just the rules. That's the rules of the show. So I'm just letting you know the rules. I see where Taylor Swift, you know her, you love her. You know, we see her at all the Kansas City Chiefs games now, or most of them. She was definitely there yesterday. And they won. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. Although they were not in Kansas City, they were in New England, and that's where the family and Taylor was. But I see now that Taylor has used the equivalent of the energy used by 17 houses in 1 year, or the electricity use of 26.9 homes for 1 year. This is according to Greenhouse Gas Equivalencies Calculators, and I love the greenhouse gas equivalencies calculator. And that's because she's used her jet. Based on statistics tracked by Taylor Swift's jet, and did I say jet? I mean jets, plural. She has produced 138 tons of CO2 emission to date. She would need to plant 2,282 trees and allow those to grow for 10 years in order to offset the environmental damage caused by her flights. Now, I want to be clear. I don't believe that. And that she can fly anywhere she wants. She has the money. She has the planes. She can do whatever the hell she wants. Now, she's purchased, it says in this story, that she's purchased carbon offsets. This was before her concert tours. One of her spokespeople said that before the tour kicked off in March of 2023, that Taylor had purchased more than double the carbon credits needed to offset all tour travel. Okay. And they also said that she's working to lessen her jet's carbon emissions by traveling less frequently than in previous years. Plus, sometimes she lets people use her jet, so it isn't just her. Okay. Now, apparently she's moved in temporarily to Travis's Kansas City house. So she's been staying there. I mean, I don't know how she can do it. Travis has got some $6 million dump that he's got in Kansas City. That's definitely not what Taylor is used to living in. But, you know, love does silly things. We don't see things we should see when we're all in love. She's got two jets. She has her Falcon 7X jet on jaunts that she uses around the world. And she also has her N621MM under Island Jet Inc., the Dassault Falcon 900. Oh, wait. Okay, no. The Dassault Falcon 7X is the N621MM under the Island Jet Inc., and the Dassault Falcon 900 is registered as N898TS under SATA LLFC. Anyway, they're both tied to Taylor Swift Productions in Nashville, Tennessee. And so she's number one in the pollution rankings. I was looking at the list. I honestly, to be fair, I really don't care. I just love that these people telling us how they're purchasing carbon offsets. Okay, stop it. So Taylor's number one. She's at 170 flights, 8,293 tons of CO2. Floyd Mayweather is number two, 177 flights, 7,076 tons of CO2. Jay-Z, 136 flights, 6,981 tons of CO2. Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod, 106 flights, 5,342 tons of CO2, except when there's bad weather and then he has to rent a car and drive home to the wife and the kids. If we've all seen the commercial. Blake Shelton, 111 flights, 4,495 tons of CO2. So he's had a lot of flights, but short distances, I guess. Spielberg, 61 flights, a little over almost 4,500 tons. Kardashian, 57 flights, 4,000. Wahlberg has 101 flights, 3,772 tons. Oprah has 68 flights, 3,493 flights. Okay, so, I mean, that's not bad. Really, I don't care. It makes no difference to me. I think the Earth will be just fine. Okay, so whatever if Taylor wants to fly around the world and see Travis, and if Travis wants to fly around the world and see Taylor, good for them. Just don't tell me that I have to cut back on my usage, okay? Just please don't tell me I have to cut back on mine. You do you. So I'm reading this story about Bella Ramsey, the actress or actor from The Last of Us, and she was in the Game of Thrones too, as Mormont, right? That was her name in Game of Thrones. She was Mormont. She ran things and once. Anyway, so this article is talking about how when she got offered the job on Last of Us, the first thought was, uh-oh. She said, sure, it was the lead into one of the most hyped video game adaptations of all time. Yeah. Sure, it was a role in which hundreds of other teenagers had fought tooth and nail on an HBO show with bigger budget than Game of Thrones. Yes. But I was very aware, says the 20-year-old, that this was going to propel me to a level of fame and recognition that you can't come back from. I was saying goodbye to my anonymity. That's petrifying. And it goes on to talk about how she got the gig and how busy she is. And, you know, she'd like to have a day where everything's not worked out. She likes riding the tube. She likes to feel normal. But she loves working on the set. And she loves working, you know, obviously, if she's not working, she says she feels like she's missing something. Got it. But in this article, she says that I'm neurodiverse. She always suspected for years that they were neurodiverse. They'd hung out with adults on the set. They weren't there. So now she's neurodiverse. And I'm like, okay, well, what the heck is neurodiverse? Okay, so just so you know, neurodiverse. Displaying or characterized by autistic or other neurologically atypical patterns of thought of behavior. Not neurotypical. The intended audiences for the courses include both neurodiverse and neurotypical students. Huh, okay. Now, neurodiversity is a word used to explain the unique ways people's brains work. While everyone's brain develops similarly, no two brain function just alike. Being neurodivergent means having a brain that works differently from the average or neurotypical person. I think I'm neurodiverse. I think I'm going to start counting myself as neurodiverse because I feel that way. I feel like my brain works differently from the average or neurotypical person. So, Bella, I am just like you. We can be neurodiverse together. Who died today? Who died today? Well, we have stand-up comedian Kenny DeForest. He had performed on Late Night with Seth Meyers and The Late Late Show with James Corden. He has passed away at the age of 37. 37. Now, don't look at me like that. You're like, say, there you go, another one, 37. No, he was hit while riding his bicycle. He was hit by a car. By riding his bicycle in Brooklyn. Oh, okay. Well, very sad. So he passed away at the age of 37. Rest in peace, Kenny DeForest. Okay, is it just me or I don't understand this? Okay, so former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor passed away on December 1st. All right, 17 days ago, or 18 days ago, if you're listening live, today is the 18th of December, 2023. She is now being laid in state, or laid at the Supreme Court building. Her coffin is there at the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. It's been 18 days. They're just dragging this lady around the country and setting her coffin up. I mean, do we think she's really in there? I don't know. It's just, I find that kind of strange. I'm glad that we're paying our respects to Sandra Day O'Connor. She lived an amazing life. She deserves to have that respect paid to her. I just find it interesting that it feels like a long time since she passed away. I know it's only been 18 days, but now we're dragging her around into D.C. so we can have people traipsed by that coffin. I don't know. Just really, really weird. It's just me? Okay, never mind. Speaking of Washington, D.C., that reminds me of President Biden, who was in Delaware this weekend, and he was coming out of his campaign office, and there was an accident. Some guy rammed into one of the vehicles protecting the president, not right next to the president. You know, they shut down the road, and it was a car that was was one of the president's motorcade cars that was blocking the road that the president's motorcade was on. It's a nightmare to travel around with the president's motorcade around. I mean, he travels with, I don't know, like 80 to 100 cars, and he can't travel anywhere without an ambulance and everything. You know, it's a it's a nightmare. Anyway, so they're walking out of the building and this car slams into one of the vehicles and you hear the crash and you hear the reporter, Mr. President, what is it about the power to the PPR system? And he's like, you're reading the wrong polls. You're reading the wrong polls. And then the car smashes. But my thing is that I hope we're protecting the president better than what it seemed like they were protecting, because he just stops and everybody stops. And I know we know what a car crash sounds like, but it just seems a little weird that we just stopped. We didn't do anything. Jill was already in the car, in the vehicle. And then they realized, oh, crap, we're supposed to be protecting the president. And they get him up into the car. Now, getting him up into the car is an ordeal because are you going to pick the old man up and throw him in there? I think you do. Because it looked like they were just waiting. He steps up, puts his head up higher than the vehicle as he's getting into the vehicle. And that's a good way for something bad to happen. The whole thing was really strange. And I'm glad that the President of the United States is okay. I don't want anything bad to happen to him. I don't necessarily want him in office, but I don't want anything bad to happen to the man. And it was just strange. I guess the guy was drunk or high or whatever and just slammed into the vehicle, and the president was never really in any harm's way, which is good. But I just found it really strange how the Secret Service reacted to that. I hope that we go ahead and review that in the next Secret Service meeting, because I feel like that's not the best way to protect the president. But again, maybe it's just me. Couple of headlines from the Pope. You know him, you love him. Pope Francis, I see where he called for a global treaty to regulate artificial intelligence, which he said is a risk to our survival. And then today it's reported that the Pope has formally approved allowing priests to bless same-sex couples. Huh. Weird. I thought that you're not supposed to act on that as a practicing Catholic. Anyway, priests are to bless same-sex couples with a new document explaining a radical change, in Vatican policy. Yeah, because that's not what the church stands for. Oh, that's silly. He insists that people seeking God's love and mercy shouldn't be subject to an exhaustive moral analysis. See, here's the thing. I love the idea that you're seeking God's love. Absolutely. You should be able to seek God's love all you want, right? But you shouldn't be subject to an exhaustive moral analysis. I mean, that's the whole point behind these religions, right? Is the moral analysis. Good news. Good news for the same-sex couples who want to be blessed by a priest and a Catholic Church. You can now be blessed, because heaven forbid that you are subject to an exhaustive moral analysis. Man, do I hate that. Am I right? All right. No one wants that exhaustive moral analysis. Wow, I thought that's what the Pope thing was all about. This is why I ran in the first place. And now it's just the Pope dream. Get it? I kill me. We got to add one more to this segment, though, because he's not dead yet. But he's still under the umbrella of who died today. NBA legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Is recovering from surgery over the weekend. It comes as the 76-year-old broke his hip in a fall at an LA concert on Friday. Did he break his hip, or did his hip break and he fell? Did he fall and break his hip, or did his hip break and then he fell? I feel like that's a fine line. Anyway, when people break their hip, although Kareem's been in, I guess he's in pretty good shape for a 76-year-old, I guess. I don't know what else he's got going on. Normally, when elderly people either break their hip and fall, or fall and break their hip, that's a bad sign. That means they're headed toward the death end of the Who Died Today umbrella, rather than the sick, almost dead end of the Who Died Today umbrella. But good luck, Kareem. Fan of yours forever. You know, when you're playing for the Milwaukee Bucks and the Los Angeles Lakers, and I mean, you're the man. So good luck to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who fell and... Now, the story says he fell and broke his hip. It doesn't say that his hip broke and then he fell this past weekend. Hope everything comes out okay. No, I do. I hope everything comes out okay. Stop it. So the launch time is coming up. The launch time for the upcoming Enterprise and Tranquility flights has been announced. United Launch Alliance has scheduled the launch for 1:49 a.m. on December 24th. And they want to be sure that you understand that it's occurring during the night between the 23rd and the 24th, not the night before Christmas, okay? DNA samples from Presidents George Washington, Dwight D. Eisenhower, John F. Kennedy. They're going off into deep space on the Celestis Memorial Space Flight. The project is being carried out in conjunction with the United Space Alliance. The spaceflight, named Enterprise, after Star Trek, will not only carry DNA and hair samples from late presidents, it's also going to contain DNA samples from Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry, his wife, actors Nichelle Nichols and DeForest Kelly. It's going to be a Star Trek packed flight. It's also going to carry Star Trek actor James Doohan's ashes into space. Wow. So the flight is also going to contain the remains of 150 others who have been placed on the flight by loved ones as a memorial. The samples will be on the ULA Vulcan Center rocket. That will establish solar orbit 150 to 300 million miles in deep space, becoming the world's first true outpost of humanity in the cosmos with its memorial flights. I like it's a good sales pitch, though, because that's what they say on their website. It's going to be the world's first true outpost of humanity in the cosmos with memorial space flights. Yeah, I don't know how much the Star Trek people paid, but the regular people pay about $12,000 to $13,000 to be on this thing. I don't think that covers it. Maybe it does. Maybe it does. Maybe they made their money back. But let's see. What have we got here? We've got 150 others at what, $12,000 apiece? So 150 times 12,500 is $1,875,000. I feel like it costs more than that to shoot that thing into space. But so maybe we charge Gene and the rest of the Star Trek actors a little bit more. I don't know. Maybe we charge the 150 others more. I don't know. But it blasts off soon, right? December 24th. Not Christmas Eve, though. Okay. 1:49 a.m. December 24th. So you got that to look forward to if you or someone you love or is on the space. Well, if it's you, I mean, you wouldn't really be hearing me, would you? But if you someone you love is on the flight and they haven't told you that the Celestis Memorial Space Flight is going to take off on December 24th at 1:49 a.m., now you know. And if you're thinking about going to space without actually going to space, you could go to, Las Vegas, let's say. You could go see the Sphere. I see where last week Fontainebleau, Las Vegas, opened on the Strip, 67 stories tall. It's the tallest occupiable building in Nevada. Occupiable. Say that word right. Say it with me. Occupiable. It is the tallest occupiable building in Nevada, the only other state whose tallest occupiable building is a casino, is Mississippi. M-I, crooked letter, crooked letter, I, crooked letter, I, humpback, I, with the Beau Rivage Casino Hotel in Biloxi. That is 29 floors, just a tad lower than the 67 stories of the Fontainebleau Las Vegas, I would say, just a tad lower. 29 floors, less than half, actually. And then congratulations to Los Angeles's SoFi Stadium. They're going to host another Super Bowl in 2027. So congratulations to SoFi as they will host another Super Bowl, Super Bowl LXI in 2027. I mean, we're in Vegas this year, and then we're going to be in Santa Clara, Levi's Stadium, home of the San Francisco 49ers, Super Bowl 60. That gets to be the Super Bowl, and then 61, obviously, back at SoFi. So what's the problem with Florida? I mean, California, making everybody come to California. I mean, let's bring some people back to Florida, shall we? I watch those Florida games, you know, Tampa Bay, Miami, Jacksonville, and I miss Florida more and more every time I watch those stupid games. All right, so I'll leave you with this. This is information you can use. This is unlike all the other information that I've given you today, this is information you can actually use either for your own personal use or share it and use it at the party this year, okay? So at the New Year's Eve party. So if you play In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins on December 31st at 11:56:40 p.m. In the Air Tonight, Phil Collins on December 31st at 11:56:40 p.m. The classic drum break will play right as the clock strikes midnight. Happy New Year! And then you can pop the champagne and have all kinds of fun while the rest of In the Air Tonight plays. So remember, start the song at 11:56:40 p.m. according to this, and that drum break, the classic drum break, will strike right at midnight. You're welcome.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.